Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's very festive up in here this morning.
Yes.
It's great. Love it. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Darren. I'm part of the pastoral staff team here at Jubilee. And it really is a joy to be here this morning at the beginning of 2024. I love the fact that I get to preach on the first Sunday of the year because there's lots of hopes and dreams for what 2024 has in store. But as we reflect, right, on 2023, I know it's in the past, but as we reflect on 2023, all it will ever be is just a memory. But this morning, you and I have the opportunity to allow God to shape what 2024 will be. Are you with me? Are you ready? Okay, I know it's getting cheesy. You'll have to forgive me. Okay, wait, I'll stop. Rhyming's never really been my thing. But there's a little bit of truth in there for you. And I was waiting for many years for that rhyme to be able to say that. So there we go. All right. But guys, it really is a joy to be with you this morning on the first Sunday of the new year. I trust you had a wonderful festive season, a wonderful break, a wonderful holiday, wonderful time with family, and that you're ready for what 2024 has in store. The reality is, though, I don't actually know in a room this size how you came in the door this morning. What did you bring with you through the doors as you entered? Maybe for some of you, you came with a spring in your step off the back of a wonderful time. Maybe your tanks are filled with family and friends and community and rest. Maybe you had the best rest and you're feeling ready for what 2024 has for you. Maybe others of you came through the door a little bit tired, maybe a bit depleted, maybe not with as much rest as you would have hoped to have over this festive season. Maybe you think about the year ahead and you're thinking, I don't know if I can do the day ahead. I'm not sure if I can think about the whole year. Maybe others of you have come in this morning filled with hope and an abundance of dreams for this year, while others have carried some deep scars from 2023. Maybe some of you would rather not have come. But you're here. And I want to say I'm so glad that you are, because I really believe at the start of this year, our Heavenly Father has something He wants to say to you today. So thank you for coming. See, with a room this size, I'm sure there's many of you in different places, some of which maybe I mentioned, some of which I didn't. But what I do know and what I genuinely believe is that regardless of where we're at or what we're experiencing right now, we can turn to our Heavenly Father in prayer because He hears us, He loves us, and He answers us. But we can also turn to His Word because that's where we can find wisdom for the year ahead. So can we do that? Can we do those two things this morning? Hey, let's start by praying. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and grace. Thank you for your breath in our lungs today. Lord, thank you that we get to start a new year. Lord, thank you for your kindness to us. Lord, thank you that you love us. And Lord, I pray that as we turn to your word this morning, you would show us wisdom. Lord, help us to lean on you this year, to trust you and to surrender to you right at the start. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. All right, so I've entitled this sermon, Wisdom for the New Year. Guess which book I'm going to? Proverbs, okay, Proverbs 3, that'll be a one that you might know. We're going to read from Proverbs 3, verse 1 to 12. I'm reading the NIV. Proverbs 3, verse 1 says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life for many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruit of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the Son he delights in. All right, so we're going to look at this passage, and I want us to observe three things today at the start of 2024. The first one is we're going to look at the heart of wisdom, as we see in this passage. Then we're going to look at the crux, or what the center of wisdom, and then we're going to look at the benefits of wisdom described to us. So the heart, the crux, and the benefits. All right. A few years ago, I was sitting here, just like you, on the first Sunday of a new year. And there was someone up front, and they were preaching from Proverbs at the beginning of the new year. And this pastor set us a challenge. The challenge was to go 31 days in January to read every chapter of Proverbs. And by the time you get to the end, you would have made your way through the whole book. And then hopefully you would have gained some wisdom, right? And so with my personality, for those of you who know me, I'm always up for a challenge. And so when this challenge came my way, I was like, yeah, bring it on. I can do that. 31 days. And I did it. I did 31 days. But let me tell you what happened when I got to the end, because I think a little bit different to what you're expecting. When I got to the end, what I felt was hopeless and useless. Or as Proverbs would call me, lazy and foolish. You see, I had approached Proverbs through the wrong lens, right? I knew from Proverbs 1 that the beginning of wisdom was the fear of the Lord, but I didn't understand the heart of wisdom. And so what happened when I got to the end is what I felt was guilty and condemned, because I saw the gap between myself and where I am and the foolish person I am and what Proverbs says I should be, this wise and diligent person. And I have this personality of trying to tick the boxes. I'm an achiever, right? And so I want to be these things, but I felt so condemned. And maybe some of you can resonate with that this morning. And to you, I want to say that the heart of wisdom is so important. We're going to see that here in Proverbs 3. The heart of wisdom, I think, is a genuine relationship with the Father, right? Come, just look with me, if you have your Bibles open there in Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord, verse 5. Fear the Lord, verse 7. Honor the Lord, verse 9. Do not despise the Lord, verse 11. These are words of relationship. And when you think about the context of this book, of Proverbs, and this chapter specifically, it starts in verse 1 by saying, my son, do not forget my teaching. You see, what we're supposed to imagine here is not a conversation with a harsh boss or coach, but like a mom and dad sitting down with their child at the dinner table or tucking them in at night, saying to them, my son, my daughter, I love you. I am for you. I am in your corner every day and I want you to thrive. So listen to me, my son. Listen to me, my daughter. I love you. I genuinely want the best for you. That's the context, the setting of what this book is about. And you can see how it works in some of these different verses. In each of these 6 or 12 verses, there seems to be a pairing. So look at verse 1 again with me. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. Now, why is the Father telling us that? Why should we keep his commands? Verse 4 tells us why. Because they will prolong your life for many years. I think what the Father's saying here is, if I didn't love you, I wouldn't bother to give you these commands. I wouldn't bother if I wasn't interested in you. But I do love you, and I want you to keep them because I want you to enjoy a rich and full life with me, your Father. Or look at verse 12, and this is picked up in Hebrews 12 as well. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Do not resent his rebuke. Now, why shouldn't we do that? Why shouldn't we despise it when the Lord rebukes us or corrects us? It's because the Lord, it tells us there, disciplines those he loves as a father, the son that he delights in. It's as if he's saying, my son, if I didn't delight in you, I wouldn't care one bit when you went wrong. I really wouldn't. I wouldn't care. But I do, because I'm invested in you. You are mine. I love you. I delight in you. And I want the very best for you. And so we shouldn't despise God's correction. We shouldn't despise his discipline, because it's for our flourishing. Right? God's correction is evidence that he delights in his children. If he didn't, he'd just leave us. So this is the heart. I want you to get this. This is the heart of wisdom. The heart of wisdom is it's warm. It's relational. It's knowing the Father. And as we know, when the whole Bible story unfolds, this is the relationship that you and I, every single one of us, can enjoy when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have a look with me at how John puts it in his gospel in John 1. It says, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. And yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." I think that's the beautiful wisdom at the heart of the gospel, that all who will sincerely turn away from their sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified and raised to life on the third day, to all who believe in his name, he will give you the right to become a child of God. How wonderful is that? See, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. But I think the heart of wisdom is this genuine relationship with the Father. It's like a father, a mother, a parent sitting down with their child, saying, "You're in a relationship with me. I've forgiven you through my son. I genuinely want the best for you. Now, will you listen? Will you listen?" And if you're a parent in this room, you know this. You know this. You just want your child to listen. And it's not because you want to ruin their fun. It's because you love them. You just want them to listen. And although we all need this reminder from time to time to know what it is to know God this way, I'm sure there's a handful of us in this room that need to especially know this morning. Guys, the Lord loves you. Can you just hear that and receive that? And to know him is to know a Father who is in your corner all of the time. Not just on your best days, but on your absolute worst days. He is there. This is not a conversation with a marketing team who don't really know you, but want to persuade you to stay in the God Club for another week. This is not what that is. These are words from a Father who loves you. He wants us to listen so that we might flourish in this world. Listen, you can memorize the whole of Proverbs if you want. You can memorize your favorite Proverbs and quote them regularly. But if we miss this warm relational setting, I think we miss everything. So firstly, we have the heart of wisdom. Secondly, we have the crux of wisdom. Now, the crux is another word for the center. And if you look at these 12 verses, right in the center, I think you find the meat, the patty, the meaning of the passage. And you'll know this verse because you've seen it on many coffee cups, you've seen it on calendars, you've seen it on Christmas cards, you've seen it in so many different places. You can probably quote it with me without even reading it in your Bible. Shall we do it together? Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit or acknowledge him, and he will make your paths." There we go. I don't know if you've probably read that so many times. You've probably quoted it. We're going to spend a little bit of time here this morning. Before we do that, I want you to think about the Old Testament, right? In the end of the book of Judges, we see what is probably one of the lowest, darkest, and most difficult moments in the history of Israel. Let me read the last sentence of Judges to you guys. This is what the book closes with. "In those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes." It's interesting, isn't it? See, what this picture portrays, if you go read Judges, I'm just like, go and do it, and then come and chat to the pastoral team afterwards. But this story is, it's absolute a moral mess. It's chaos. And it's interesting because it doesn't say they did what was wrong. It says they did what was right, which was wrong. Because they did what was right in their own eyes, right? And Proverbs later on will make a similar point. In chapter 14, verse 12, it says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." It feels good, it looks wise, and it seems sensible to us sometimes. But to choose our own way, Proverbs says, is to choose death. And so the call here is to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Now, I think it's worth saying that the sentence here isn't a call to reject general life experience, right? Let's use the example of the wonderful Joe Schlesinger in the front row. What a wonderful member of our community, a fantastically qualified and experienced doctor. Many of us have been to Joe's practice, and she's a real blessing. But let's use Joe as an example. Sorry, Joe, I didn't prep you for this, but that's all right. So Joe's been practicing medicine for many years. It would be worth trusting the wisdom that she's accumulated over these years, right? There'll be a type of life experience that Joe has gained through her practice of medicine. And so it's not to say that with every new patient, she has to lean not on her own understanding and forget all the wisdom she's accumulated and go back and search the Bible for how to help a particular patient in this time. That's not how things work. Because God in his wisdom has given us rational minds. And he set up the world so that we kind of learn as we go, right? Yeah? We agree? Okay, good. That's how God set it up. We build up experience and wisdom as we go. But a wise person, according to Proverbs, will take it a bit further. See, a wise person knows the world that they live in. They know their own heart, and they know their own heart is something that is prone to wander and prone to leave the very God that loves it. And therefore, they use their experience and their rational mind to trust God. They actually use the very mind that God has given them to turn away from their own understanding and to trust the Lord who made them. That's what a wise person does. Let me help you understand that a little bit more. It's as if Jo, before she sees a new patient, says a little prayer, saying, Lord, help me to you, or thanking the Lord. Lord, thank you for the experience and the knowledge that you've given me by your grace. Lord, help me to use that knowledge and expertise and experience that you've given me to love and serve this person well. Help me to know what to ask for. Help me to know how to respond. See, the posture of the heart there is one that's still relying on God, but recognizes that God has, by his grace, given wisdom and knowledge through the years. See, there's an old way of describing human sin. Augustine, one of the early church fathers, describes it like this. He describes sin as a kind of curling in or curving in on ourselves. Let's think about a leaf in autumn. Let's think about a leaf that has fallen off the tree, right? And it's lying on the floor. There's a number of things that happen to this leaf. Number one, it begins to lose all of its color. Its green life color turns to brown, right? It starts to lose all of its nourishment. It begins to curl in. Have you seen this before? When leaves start to curl in on themselves. And in fact, the more dead it is, the more curled up it becomes. It curls in on itself as evidence of its death. And I think this is such a fantastic picture of what sin is and how it works, right? What happens when our hearts are filled with sin is we start to curl in on ourselves. We trust ourselves. We start to believe our own judgments are true. We think that we've got all the information we need to make the right decisions. We trust ourselves. We serve ourselves. All we are interested is in ourselves. And you know what happens? We do the opposite of Proverbs 3, verse 5. We lean on our own understanding. And this time, when I lean on my own understanding, it's like, I think it's going to be better, right? You know, I think it's going to be different this time. I lean on my own understanding this time. I curl into myself. When I reject wisdom, I think it'll go well for me this time. You know, I know I went wrong last time, but this time it's going to go differently. But I think it's, like, is it Einstein who says insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results? And you know what? Those results never come. Because when we lean on our own understanding, we begin to die. And so if wisdom is knowing God in relationship, then I think foolishness is leaning on our own understanding. It's being wise in our own eyes, as verse 7 would say as well. And so the challenge for us to consider today is what sort of leaf are we? I'll give you a moment to think about this in your own life. What sort of leaf are you? Are you losing strength, color, and nourishment? Are you curling in on yourself? Are you turning inwardly? Or are you the leaf that is still connected to the tree? Because what do leaves do that are still connected to the tree? They don't curl in on themselves. They actually stretch outwardly like this, right? They bow out to the source of life and they find it. So what sort of leaf are you today? Or if that question is too abstract, when things are tough in your life, whose assessment is it that you really trust? Do you believe that you're above being influenced by this culture? Do you believe that you can walk through this world and not be deceived by the voices in it? Do you trust that you have all the information you need to make the right choices? Or this one that hit home for me. Are you always right in your own eyes? Because Proverbs will tell us the wise person doesn't think they're wise in their own eyes. They fear the Lord. They turn away from themselves. They bow outwardly because wisdom is a relationship of trust. And that means looking out to the God who delights in you and listening to him and not curving into death. Okay, if we're really honest with ourselves, we're far more likely, and I am far more likely to trust myself than I am to trust God, right? Let's be honest for a second. We're far more likely to trust ourselves, our own ability and our own understanding than we are to trust God. And at the start of 2024, I want to challenge us with these questions. How faithful have we been to ourselves? Just think about that. How did it go when it came to meeting our own expectations for 2023? How did that go? Why do we keep turning to and trusting our fallen selves, even when I am the person who's most likely and most regularly going to disappoint me? But I keep turning to me. I disappoint myself the most. Day on day, year on year, I disappoint myself. But I keep turning to my own understanding. I keep turning to myself. Now let's look, how is the Lord's track record of faithfulness going? The Bible speaks about the Lord being the faithful one. His track record of faithfulness is perfect. We see that in Jesus himself. Why don't we look to him? Can we look to him this year, 2024? Can I encourage you? Let's stop leaning on ourselves. We know where that goes. Can we lean on God? Can we trust him? Can we give him our heart? The heart of wisdom is a genuine relationship with the Father. The crux, the center of wisdom is trusting the Lord with all your heart. Because not leaning on your own understanding. It's acknowledging him, submitting to him because he is good and he loves you. Then lastly, the benefits of wisdom. If you look through this passage, it's really interesting. The benefits of wisdom are simply this, a happy and long life. That's what it says. Have a look how it's described in the passage. A long life and prosperity, verse 1. A good name in verse 4. Straight paths in verse 6. Health to your body and nourishment to your bones, verse 8. Overflowing barns, verse 10. And just to get it out of the way, because I know there's going to be some confusion, it's worth looking at what this passage is not saying before we look at what it is saying, all right? And what this passage is not saying, that if we trust Jesus, our bank balances are going to be overflowing or bursting at the seams. It's not saying that we're never going to have our lives cut short. Because the reality is the exact opposite may be true. Proverbs is not the only book in the wisdom literature in the Bible. Job is there too. And Job tells us that disaster can and does strike at the heart of the godly. More than that, when you look at some of the Psalms, not just the righteous suffer, but the wicked seem to be the ones who prosper. Have you seen that in your reading of the Psalms? Psalm 73, verse 4 and 5. This is talking about the wicked. It says, they have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. So it is the wicked who've got healthy bodies and bones. They are the ones with nourished bones and healthy bodies. They are free from common human burdens. They are not plagued by human ills. And listen, Proverbs 3 is not and cannot be saying, honor the Lord and your bank account will roll on like mighty rivers. It's not saying you're never going to endure any sickness. It's not saying your life will never be cut short. That's not true. It's not promised. It's not the gospel. I think it's actually a kind of anti-gospel. And so what is the Father actually getting at here in chapter 3? Well, there is, I think, a general sense in which the wise life does bring about a form of prosperity, doesn't it? I think it does. If I know my Father, I know He loves me, and I listen to His words in relationship, I'm just less likely to exploit people around me and to get into difficulty with them, right? If I love my Father and I listen to His words, I'm a lot less likely to take the best of my wages and gamble it away and rather use it for something more important. Or if I know my Father and I listen to His words and I'm at work in the office or I'm at university or I'm at a friend's house and I try to say things by the grace of God that are true and edifying, that will kind of bring a good name. That's what verse 4 says. I will win favor and a good name. But now the truth is, people might hate my name because I'm a Christian. I've experienced that. But when it comes to integrity, character, and honesty, there will be a good name. That will sort of follow the wise life. And so what this is not is a prosperity gospel. Trust Jesus and He's going to make you rich. But what it is a generally true observation that God's children who live God's way are going to be saved from loads of things. We're going to be saved from loads of bad traps and we'll enjoy a form of prosperity and health in the world. But that, I think, is just one level of application in the benefits of wisdom that we see in Proverbs 3. But this is about so much more. It's about so much more than just benefits in this world. I think this is about, in the end, the joy of knowing God, about the spiritual benefits of walking with the Heavenly Father. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 10, I have come that they might have life and life to the full. To know Jesus Christ is to know the fullness of life so that outwardly we may be wasting away, but inwardly we are being renewed. Our bones are being renewed day by day all the time. There's a nourishment that comes with knowing Jesus. Amen. Hey? Amen. Or like outwardly, we might be very poor. But in another sense, our bonds are overflowing, aren't they? They really are. We are rich beyond compare because we've come to know that in Jesus are hidden all the riches of wisdom and knowledge. We know Him. Amen. A Christian has found the pearl of great price. Amen. And he wouldn't trade him for anything. Amen. Right? They're rich beyond compare. An old Bible commentator heads this passage by saying, a life of communion with God will be of unspeakable advantage. I love that phrase. A life of communion with God will be of unspeakable advantage. See, whatever that looks like in this world, if we know we have communion with God, if we walk with Him, if we talk with Him, if we involve Him, if we live our lives before Him, then our lives will be of unspeakable benefit, of unspeakable advantage. Just look at how that's put in this passage in chapter 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. And what happens as a result? This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. When we turn away from sin, there's kind of a spiritual nourishment. Even physically, we feel stronger. I don't know if you've experienced that. When we're not living in sin. Now, look at the opposite in Proverbs 14, verse 30. It says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. You see that? Have you ever experienced something like that with sin? When we resist the Lord and we choose sin and we choose the evil roads, we are like that fallen leaf, right? We've lost the source of life and we start to curl in on ourselves. We lose our inward strength. And actually, I think there is a sense that sin even physically robs us of strength. You know, it keeps us from sleeping. Sometimes we can't eat. We can't think straight. We begin to grow weary. It rots the bones in every way. This is what we're told. But wisdom gives life to your bones, nourishment to your body. Guys, there are battles that we're facing. There are difficulties that you're enduring. But to walk in the way of the Lord is to know the paths of everlasting life and everlasting joy. Not only is it true, but I think it's the best way. The best way for us to live no matter what our battle is today. That's one of the benefits of wisdom. The wise person knows that. Look at me one more time at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. Now, this is interesting because other translations that you might have would say, in all your ways, acknowledge him. But the word here is to literally know him. In all your ways, know him. And it's the same intimate knowing word that is used for Adam and Eve in the garden with God. The same knowing word. So in all your ways, know him. Involve him intimately in all of your ways. Know him in your life. Know him in your decisions. And he will make your paths straight. What a blessing. What a blessing. But the truth is, for some of us, feels like we're at a roundabout, right? We've rocked up at a roundabout. We're at some sort of crossroads in our lives. And we're confused about where to go. Right at the start of 24, I don't know where to go. And sometimes fundamental questions like who am I? Or what is my purpose in life? Or even for this year? The answers are just not obvious to us. And although there's a whole lot of bad advice and there's so many roads you can take, there is something right about the question that gets asked there, right? We're all trying to make sense of our lives in this world, aren't we? None of us want to live without a true and proper identity. We don't want that. We want to walk the paths of most satisfaction. There's something good in this question, but verse 5 is saying to us that when we trust in the Lord, when we know he loves us, we won't have to go down hundreds of different roads, which will just make us angry, bitter, confused, and resentful. Because we will see in verse 5 that the reason we are here is to intimately know the Father in all our ways. If we reject that wisdom, this is what's going to happen. And you would have experienced this. We're going to take loads of different paths. We're going to end up either further back or back at where we started. More confused, more upset, more angry than we were before. But if we walk with Jesus, who tells us he is the way, the truth, and the life, there will be a general sense of progress in your life. We'll be moving because our paths are directed. That's what happens when we have directed paths, isn't it? You make progress. There will be a general sense of progress in your life. Now listen, it does sometimes feel like two steps forward and one step back and then two steps forward and one step back. And it's not to say that we might never go wrong. But what we do know is that wisdom is to know the Father in relationship. Listen, we will know where we're going. That is one of the blessings of walking with God. So this is not a marketing device again to keep us in the God club for another week. That's not what it is. These are real, true benefits of a Father who actually loves you. He's for you, he's in your corner, and he wants the very best for you. This is the way that's going to save us from a lot of danger, and it's going to bring us great joy. This is the one who gave his life for us. And when we trust in him, we find spiritual health, we find direction, and in the end, every one of God's children will find a very long and happy life in Jesus Christ for all of eternity. How epic is that? So we have the heart of wisdom, a genuine relationship with the Father. The crux of wisdom, let's not lean on our own understanding, let's trust him with all our heart. Let's lay down our lives. Let's take on what he's given us. And then we have the benefits of wisdom, temporarily but eternal, wonderful, beautiful benefits. And just to end, if you're a believer here today, if you know Jesus and you love him, if you're a Christian, can I encourage you to keep looking to him right now at the start of your year? Submit to him. Be reminded that the heart of wisdom is a genuine relationship. It's not about ticking boxes. You don't have to prove yourself. No, he loves you and he's for you and he's in your corner. And you can trust him above yourself, knowing that there are genuine benefits for you in his love. Your heavenly Father loves you, and not one of his promises will ever fail you. you can trust him. Can you trust him today? And then maybe this morning here, and you're not yet a believer. You haven't yet given your life to Jesus. I think my encouragement to you today would be the wisest thing I think you can do is to say, I no longer want to lean on my own understanding. Hey, where's that God in us? In a mess. I don't want to lean on my own understanding. And maybe my call to you is today, investigate this Jesus. Investigate this Father. He's available to you. He wants a relationship with you. Investigate him. Find someone and read the Gospel of Mark with him. Press in, investigate him, and you're going to find out how beautiful he is. Maybe you've done the investigating and you're ready this morning. I'm done with leaning on my own understanding. This morning, I want to submit to God. I want to give my whole heart to him. You can do that. Let me pray, and Wes will lead that. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and your grace towards us. Thank you for your love and your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Thank you that the heart of wisdom is that this isn't harsh, but it's a warm relational setting. You're a dad who loves us and wants the absolute best for us. Lord, thank you that right in the center, off the back of knowing your warm relational heart towards us, right off the back of that, Lord, we can know that the center, the crux of wisdom is to lay down our own lives, to lay down our own understanding, to lean on you, to submit to you, to trust you with our whole heart. Lord, we've tried so many times to do things our own way, and we've seen the mess that creates. Lord, we need someone outside of ourselves, someone greater than ourselves, to lean on. Someone who knows us. Someone who knows everything. God Almighty. We want to lean in and trust in you. And Lord, we want to thank you for your benefits. We want to thank you that you, in Jesus, give us a long and happy life for eternity. That we'll be in glory with you one day because you are mighty. Thank you, Jesus. We give you all the glory this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.